الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات كانت لهم جنات الفردوس نزلا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: سلمان منا أهل البيت. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama kiram, brothers and elders in Islam, we had discussed last week some aspects of iman, the value of iman, importance and significance of iman, how the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made great sacrifices to safeguard the iman and to maintain the iman. If you make a little study of the history and background, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we'll come to this conclusion that they had made great sacrifices for this iman. Great sacrifices and great effort to get this iman. And with the result, we find they had great value for this iman. They would not even tolerate one single action of deen to be decreased in their life. The famous sentence of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, أَيُنْقَسُ الدِّينُ وَأَنَا حَيِّ. Is it possible that any aspect of deen decreases while Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is living? Otherwise, this is not possible. That any aspect of deen, there is any some shortcomings or failings or decrease, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is living. No, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would not tolerate that. This was the level of his iman. The level of his iman was not only this, that he maintained the deen in his life, but he was concerned about the deen of the people around him as well. And he was concerned about the people obeying Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam around him as well. Because these were the sacrifices and the prices they had to pay to get iman and then to maintain iman. They left no stone unturned and nothing deterred them from safeguarding and looking after the iman. And contrary to that, when we look around us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and save us, that when it comes to iman, through the fazl and grace of Allah, we had read the kalima while we were in the laps of our mothers. In the homes, we have got the kalima and the deen of Islam. That is why we find there wasn't much sacrifice made to get the deen of Islam. And with the result, we find that the true value of iman has not really dawned upon us. Rasulullah ﷺ had predicted there will come a time when a person will be a mu'min in the morning and will become a kafir in the evening. He will be a mu'min in the evening and he will become a kafir the next morning. And يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Here Rasulullah ﷺ tells us that he will sell away his deen for some paltry gain or some small gain of the dunya. He will send away his iman. He will sell away his iman just to get some worldly and material benefit. This will be the value that he will hold to his iman. As I mentioned, if you look into the background, the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ, they had made great effort to get this iman. Some of them had to sacrifice their homes, some of them their wealth, some of them their family relationships, some of them their towns and their hometowns, etc., to migrate in order to get this iman. They had paid a very high price to get this iman, with the result we find that they had maintained it, sustained it, and looked after it, and developed it, and they were concerned about it. Salman radiallahu anhu, his incident is very famous, the great sacrifice that he had made for Islam and Iman, that had gained for him a great lofty position, the sight of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was because of the sacrifice that he had made. He mentions his own story that I was a young boy, and I used to stay in Isfahan, a place in Iran. Some say in a town that was close by, that was known as Jinan or Jinay. He used to remain and live in that town. He says, my father was a great landlord and he had great pastures and orchards and he was very notable in the society. He says his love for me was extreme from the very inception when I was born, and as I used to grow and as I was growing, his love became more intense for me. He in fact describes his love. He says his love for me was such like how a person has for a young girl. He's worried and concerned that she must not venture out of the home. There will be some danger, or she will be harmed in some way. His love for me was like that. And he should not even allow me to leave the home, fearing that some danger or some trouble or some inconvenience may befall me. And he says, we were followers, we were fire worshippers. My father and my grandfather, we were all fire worshippers. And he said, I used to tend to the fire also. I studied the religion of fire worshipping or the way of fire worshipping. And I knew all the intricacies of fire worshipping, and I used to maintain that fire. One of part of their religion is this, that the fire must not be extinguished at any time. So during the day and night, I used to take pains to see that the fire is burning. And this was my routine. And my father used to go and tend to the land and orchards that he had. It would produce a lot of grain for him. He says this was his normal routine. One day, because of some commitment, he could not go. He asked me to go. He told me, you should go to the orchards and to the plantations and tend to them. He says, on that day when I went, I passed by people that were worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the proper manner on the deen of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Remember, this was before the advent of the Prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There was a place where they were worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I overheard them and this attracted my attention. He says, I went in there and the way they were praying, I was astonished and I was impressed by the way they were praying and I remained with them. I remained with them right till the evening, admiring them, and I said to myself, Allah, this deen is much better than my deen, much better than our deen and our way of life and our religion. And we should remember that was before, it was in the, after Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and before the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, they were on the deen that was true and acceptable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, thereafter I came home, and when I came home, my father asked me, I related to him what had happened, and I told him, my father told me, no, your deen and the deen of your forefathers is much better for you. You should not leave your deen. Said, I told him explicitly and clearly, Wallah, that deen that I have seen is much better than our religion, much better than our deen. My father sensed that I had an inclination towards this deen, and he tied me up in feathers and in shackles. He tied me up and left me in the home. He says, I somehow got in touch with these people and asked them actually, where is this deen from originally? Where did it originate from? They told me from Syria. That time Syria was encompassing all these other countries like Palestine, etc., where Isa alayhi salam was born, etc. So he says that I told them, if there's any caravan going to Syria, please inform me, I would like to join them and go. He says, my good fortune that within a few days there was a caravan getting ready to go to Syria. And he says, I somehow came out of my home and I joined these people. I joined these people and I went to Syria. And when I got to Syria, I began to inquire, make queries, who is the person that is most outstanding and the person that is most prominent as far as this deen is concerned. They told me and they informed me about that person. I went to that person and asked him for permission to remain with him so that I can serve him, so that I can accept this deen and I can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He permitted me and I began to live with him. He says, this person, after a few days, I sense he was not a very good person. He used to encourage the people to give charity, and thereafter he should take the charity and keep it for himself. Very shortly, this person died, and he says, when the people came, I informed the people of his situation. And they told me, what is your proof? He said, I will indicate to you all that wealth that we have given him in charity is filled up in 7 jars. There are 7 jars of gold that are lying by him, and he did not distribute it. People became very offended, and thereafter it's mentioned, they did not even bury these people, but they stoned these people even after he had died. Thereafter, he says, another person was appointed in his place to take over, and he was a very pious person, the person who is completely disinclined towards the dunya, inclined towards the akhirat, engaging himself in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I stayed with him for a long time till the signs of death appeared, and I asked him, what do I do next? He told me, I do not see anybody in this vicinity, but should go to Musil, there is a pious person there. He said, I got to that place and I remained with that person, also was a pious person, was on the same deen of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And so happened that I remained with him till his time came near. And I asked him, what do I do? He says, there's another person, but in the place of Nasibin, you go there and remain with him. So I traveled with him. Remember, leaving his home here to remain unto the truth, to remain unto the right deen. Here he's making sacrifice after sacrifice. Thereafter, I remained in the company of that person. And thereafter, when that person began to pass away, I asked him, where do I go? He told me to go to a place called Umuriya. There's a pious person there as well. Should go and stay in his company. According to his bequest and advice, I went there and I found a pious person. I remained in his company. While I was there, he says, I began to rear up some animals, some cows and some goats, etc., while I was in his company. And when his time came, I asked him, now, where do I go to maintain this deen? He told me, now, there's nobody left on the face of the earth who will follow this deen. You should go to a place, there will be a prophet that will come now, and he will be on the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He will migrate and come to a place where there are stony hills and where there are lands full of stones, and there will be date palms there. He will migrate and come there. You should accept his deen. And he showed him 3 signs. He said, the signs of his prophethood is this, that he will not eat from sadaqah. If you give him charity, he will not eat from charity. But if you give him any hadiyah, he will eat from the hadiyah. And the third sign is this, that on his back, there is a sign of the Khatim al-Nubuwa, the Khatm al-Nubuwa. It says the seal of Prophet who is there is a piece of flesh that was protruding from the Mubarak back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the sign of his prophethood. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu says, I found the opportunity. There was a tribe that had come from Makkah, from the Arabian countries. And I asked them, in lieu of the sheep and animals that I'll give you, will you take me to Makkah al-Mukarramah? They will take me to the Haramain. They agreed. Said, but en route, what they did, they deceived me and they began to sell me as a slave. They sold me to one person in Umm al-Qura who was a Jewish person. And in some traditions it's mentioned that he was sold 12 times over. He was bought and sold as a slave. Yet he was a free person who had come out in search of his deen. He was sold and says, ultimately, finally, I got to Madinah al-Munawwara. One person bought me there. And I was in Madinah al-Munawwara when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the advent of prophethood, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced his prophethood, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Makkah al-Mukarramah. I was very keenly and anxiously waiting for the appearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, one day, the cousin of my owner had come, and he began to tell him that may Allah destroy that person of the Qayqa, that nation of the Bani Qayla, says they have assembled in Quba and they are speaking to a person who claims to be a prophet. They are assembled there. He says, I was on top of a khajur tree and I was working there when I heard this. He says, I begin to shiver and tremble there out of excitement to such an extent that I thought I will fall down and I'll fall on my master. He said, I hurriedly came down and I asked that person, repeat what you have said. What did you say? This angered my master to such an extent that he punched me with his fist and told me, what have you got to do with this matter? Go back to your work. Go back to your work. He did not know that I was waiting for this opportune moment. I had made this great sacrifice and I had left my home. I had gone from country to country and I became a slave upon a slave and I had come here for this opportune moment. However, he says, I went back to my work and towards the evening I gathered some khajur. And that time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come to Quba. I had gone there and presented this khajur to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him that I see you are a very pious person and you have some people with you that are needy. I understand that you are the most deserving person. There's a sadaqah that I brought to you. Says Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the charity and sadaqah and gave it to his companions. He did not partake of it. He says, when I saw this, I said, this is the first sign that I was shown by that pious person. He says, on the next occasion, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come to Madinah al-Munawwara, he says, I had gone with a few more khajur and told him, O Prophet of Allah, I see you do not partake of sadaqah, but you partake from hadiyah. There's a hadiyah and a gift for you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam partook from it, had taken from it, and thereafter he distributed it to his companions. I said to myself, this is the second sign. And thereafter he says, in the third occasion, I went to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was in Quba, he was in Baqi, and he was busy in the burial of a person, of a companion of his. He says, I went there, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had two pieces of clothing upon him, and I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I went towards the back to see the seal of prophethood. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sensed my object, and thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shifts his Mubarak chadar. He says, I saw the seal of prophethood, and I kissed it, and I told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam my story. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very happy, and this was the third sign that was shown to me. He says, there and then I accepted Islam, and thereafter I even mentioned an incident to my companions where I had started my journey to seek and look for the Islam. Imagine, right from Iran he had started, gone to so many places just for his deen, to look for the right deen, and thereafter he comes here and accepts the deen in the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, even the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were astonished and astounded at my story, and thereafter they were very happy upon my accepting Islam. He had become such a prominent Sahabi that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Salmanu minna, Salman is from amongst us, Ahle Bayt, he is from my family. Salman used to go as Salman bin Islam, because he had forsaken his parents and his home, etc. He used to be known as Salman bin Islam, Salman the son of Islam. This was the sacrifices he had made, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him this title that Salman is from us, he's from my family. So one riwayat is mentioned that there are three persons that even paradise yearns for them. One is Ammar and one is Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, and one is Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu. Very, very prominent Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this great sacrifice for this iman. And thereafter is mentioned that they had looked after this iman. He look after his iman. He accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he reached a very, very old age. Some traditions mention 250 years, and some traditions mention 350 years. But the correct version is he had reached the age of 250 years. We know he had given mashura to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he came to Ghazwa-e Khandaq, that what we do is we dig trenches around us in Faris and in Persia, and his mashura was taken. There are many other virtues that I mentioned about Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What we need to take notice of here is that we got Islam and Iman while sitting in our homes, in the lap of our mothers. Here great sacrifices are made. The families are sacrificed, the parents are sacrificed, the home is sacrificed, the homeland is sacrificed, and everything is sacrificed. And Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu is bought as a slave, bought and sold, bought and sold. And then after he gets this Iman and Islam, and this is the great position he gets, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says there are three people that even paradise yearns for, and one of them is Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It is mentioned that when he was on his deathbed, he began to cry and weep, and some sahaba came. They told him, why are you crying? He said, I'm not crying because I'm parting from the dunya. Nor am I crying because I'm afraid of the year after. I'm crying because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had bequested us and told us that you should live in the world, and your commodities and provisions to the world, Kazadi Rakib, should be like that traveler who takes something on his way while he is going to go by. Your property and your belonging in the world should be that much. He says, I feel ta'addaytu, I have exceeded the limit as far as that is concerned, and I did not heed to this teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's mentioned some people say after he had passed away, when they had assessed his wealth, some say it was 20 dirhams and some say it was only 15 dirhams. A dirham is about 2 or 3 rand. Can you imagine? This was the wealth he had, but this was the afsos he had and regret he had that we had not stuck onto the wasiyat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this was just one sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are so many other sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of them had to sacrifice all the wealth that they had. Suhaib radiallahu anhu was migrating to Madinah Munawwara, and he sacrifices all his property and all his wealth that he has there to safeguard his iman. Similarly, we find Hazrat Tufail bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we find here he comes, also comes, a very intelligent man, comes and accepts Islam. People tell him, should not even listen to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I had taken wool and put it in my ears because the Meccans had told me not to hear, not to listen to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When I went to the masjid the next day and I stood next to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I heard him reciting part of the Quran. And I thought to myself, that shame on you. You are an intelligent person. You will be able to understand what is right from wrong, what is good from bad. Why should you not listen to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Says, I took off this wool from my ears. Thereafter, I heard the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some places mentioned that they had sent him to go and test Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mention your poetry before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and see what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. Says Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited just 3 surahs: Qul huwallahu ahad, Qul huwallahu rabbil nas, and Qul huwallahu rabbil falak. He says, there and then I had not heard. I declare that there is nothing more beautiful that I heard than these words. And there and then I accepted the deen of Islam. And I told him, O Prophet of Allah, the beauty of these people were, after accepting the deen of Islam, they would not sit down contented, but they used to go and spread the deen of Islam and give dawah to other people. Says, I told him, O Prophet of Allah, allow me to go to my nation. They are obedient to me. I will preach to them the deen of Islam. And, oh, make dua to Allah that he gives me some sign whereby they know I am upon the truth. He says, thereafter he embarked on going back to his family and back to his town. He says they begin, as a sign, there was like a lantern that was lit between his eyes. He said, oh Allah, let not the sign be in my face, because these people will think this is a defect and a punishment to me. He says, mentioned that the end of the whoop had that sign. There was like a lantern burning at the end of his whoop, and he was going back to his people. He meets his father. His father comes and meets him. He tells his father that I am not yours and you are not mine. His father tells him why. He told him, I've accepted the deen of Islam. And his father says, your deen is my deen. You also accept the deen of Islam. Thereafter, he meets his wife. He tells his wife the same thing, that you are not mine and I am not yours. He tells, may my parents be sacrificed for you. What is the reason? He says, I accept the deen of Islam and I am following Muhammad. I am a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She also accepts Islam. Thereafter, he preaches to his people, but they reject the deen of Islam. Some traditions mention that only one person had accepted at that time. That was Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Others say, no, none of them accepted. He comes back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tells him, O Prophet of Allah, the people of mine are not accepting the deen, curse them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes dua for them, O Allah, guide the people and the nation of those, the tribe of those, O Allah, guide them. And tells them, go back and treat them with kindness and give them the dawat to accepting Islam. He mentioned he remains there for a long time and he begins to preach the deen of Islam till about 70 to 80 families accept the deen of Islam. One person, but 70 to 80 families accept on his da'wat and giving him da'wat for the deen of Islam. Thereafter he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioned after the occasion of Khaybar with these 70 to 80 families who had accepted the deen of Islam. Just as one person, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, is that illustrious scholar of Islam, is unmatched and unparalleled as far as his taking of hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned. Over 5,274 hadiths he had taken, and you can imagine the credit goes to Hazrat Tufail bin Amr Dosi radiallahu anhu for preaching this Islam to those nation and tribe, and for Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu accepting Islam and spreading this teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can imagine what he will get. So this ijtima that takes place is for the same reason, how we can value this iman, how we can value this great gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we can also participate in giving da'wah and inviting people around us towards this deen of Islam and towards this beautiful religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for us and for mankind at large. Alhamdulillah, we all know tomorrow inshallah the ijtima will begin. And we had mentioned previously also that we as hosts, we have a double role. One is to attend the ijtima and to benefit from the du'as and nasiyat and from the environment that is there. Normally ijtima is carried out and the amal of deen are carried out there. This environment, the person experience, he comes into that environment, he experiences the warmth of deen, the warmth of Islamic brotherhood, etc. And is affected by this and is motivated by this and inspired to he himself also go out in the path of Allah. So one is to attend the programs that will be taking place, and the other as hosts, we have to ensure that we try and make the people as comfortable as possible in whatever way that's possible for us. Sometimes a person is very young, very robust, he can engage himself to the maximum and make khidmat of the people that come. Sometimes it's a person that's old and disabled, he cannot do nothing, just a few good words, a welcoming smile to the people that come there, it also will contribute towards, inshallah, our rewards in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we urge one and all to go by yourselves also, and also to ensure that you make it comfortable for the people that will come. We all know we have restricted parking. There's a notice on the board to show to us that there will be a special shuttle service from the Talimuddin Madrasa to take you there. If you go with your cars, you'll experience inconvenience. You may inconvenience others as well. So giving preference to the visitors that will come, let us use this facility and attend and take all of our family members to attend. We are right there. We are right there at the ijtima here. And we should ensure that we do not lose this opportunity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us tawfiq, and give us tawfiq to work towards the upliftment of our iman, to strive towards the upliftment of the iman. May Allah ta'ala give us the true value of this great deen that He has granted us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.